David Contasta is professor of history at Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia. He's the author of the new book, America's Needless Wars, Cautionary Tales of U.S. Involvement in the Philippines, Vietnam, and Iraq. His book takes a unique approach to the history of U.S. foreign policy by examining three unrelated conflicts, all of which ended tragically and resulted in the deaths of millions on both sides. By analyzing what went wrong in each case, Contasta says he has uncovered a pattern of errors that should serve as a precaution for future decision makers contemplating a conflict abroad. Again, the name of the book is America's Needless Wars, and we welcome David Contasta to the roundtable this morning. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Delighted to be with you.
What brought you to want to look at ultimately war and the current state of warfare in this country?
I suppose it goes back all the way to the Vietnam War. I was concerned about it at the time, and there were some comparisons made back then between the Vietnam War and the war in the Philippines. And then when the Iraq War broke out, and there were some comparisons made between it and Vietnam, and when it became obvious that the United States had waterboarded people in the Philippines and then again in Iraq, I began to see some connections. And I was concerned that over a period of 105 years, which is a very long human lifetime now, the United States went to war unnecessarily. The national security was not threatened. In all three of these wars, there was a lot of opposition, at least eventually. They became unpopular wars, unlike, let's say, World War II. So although there were different causes for these wars and different people were in charge during these wars, I thought we could learn some lessons from them.
You make the point that even though all of these conflicts seem to be unrelated, that when you look at them, you see a pattern of errors that ultimately could serve as a precaution. What do you see as ultimate errors, the same errors that were made in these three particular conflicts?
Well, I came up with five variables, and they would be ignorance, arrogance, fear, partisan games, and failure of the media to inform the public accurately about what was happening and the reasons to go to war.
Okay, I'm gonna go out of order because let's look at arrogance first. What is it that brings on such an arrogance that would allow us to get into a situation of war?
Well, several factors. One is this belief in American exceptionalism, and I do think that this country is exceptional in many ways. But believing that we're different from every other country in the world and better than any other country in the world, I think, helped to breed this sense of arrogance. Also, the wealth of the United States, the military power of the United States contributed to this sense of arrogance, too. And then finally, I guess, ignorance and arrogance go together very well. If one is ignorant about the culture and the history and the traditions and the politics of other countries, then one can be rather arrogant by saying we're going to go in and everything's going to be wonderful after we go in and we're going to be created as liberators and so forth. If we'd known more about these three countries, that is the Philippines, Vietnam, and Iraq, we would not have made that mistake. So I think the ignorance and the arrogance are very much connected.
So let's just go back and talk about the ignorance for a moment of how we become ignorant and how we can improve that and better know what we're getting ourselves into.
Well, if we go back to the Philippines, there weren't any experts in the United States who could tell the McKinley and Roosevelt administrations very much about it. But by the time of the Vietnam War, there were people in academia who could have informed the administration, and several administrations are involved with the Vietnam War. And certainly by the time we get to Iraq, there were people in the State Department, in the intelligence services, and in academia who could have advised the Bush administration, the W. Bush administration, about what not to do or about what was likely to happen. So I think now in particular, there's no real excuse for being ignorant about our enemies or about those who challenge us or those we think are opponents of one kind or another.
Obviously, as you mentioned, fear is a motivator as well, which I assume could be the case in any war situation.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about unreasonable fear, and we have that in the case of the Philippines. The argument was that if we didn't take over the Philippines, some other country would, and then we'd be frozen out of the Chinese market, which was a ridiculous fear because the Chinese people were extraordinarily poor. In 1899, 1900, 1901, the Chinese market obviously wasn't going to open up. And we could have befriended the Filipinos and extended a benign, and I emphasize benign, protectorate if we were fearful that someone else might take over. Instead, we argued that we had to free the Filipinos from themselves, and that's an argument that we're going to use in Vietnam and in Iraq, too.
How do we get around that argument, the fear that ultimately that we see and that the irrational fear, as you say, that comes with the citizenry of people who are concerned about what they're being told?
Well, I think this is where the media has often stumbled in the past. At the time of the Spanish-American War, which is a precursor to our invasion of the Philippines and the war in the Philippines, the American people weren't really informed accurately, and the press at that time tended to go along with the administration line, and that was the case during Vietnam in the late 1940s and throughout the 50s and really up to the time of the Tet Offensive in 1968. And then, of course, with Iraq, the media fell into line. Judith Miller of the New York Times was reporting that what the Bush administration was saying about the aluminum tubes and about the yellowcake uranium and so forth was all true. So I think the media is doing a better job now of informing the American people about foreign affairs than was done in the case in the past.
Are we getting away from what was a tradition of that when our country went to war, that we would fall in behind and support that effort?
I think we are. I think we are in the case of Syria and Iraq and North Korea in the present day. There were a lot of exceptions, of course, with World War II when we were attacked by Japan. The American people were very much unified behind that conflict. And of course, as I said earlier, that was not the case in the three that I write about, in the Philippines and Vietnam and then Iraq.
Obviously, the result and the sad result is that this country, as well as our allies, have paid a very high price in the number of lives lost.
Yes.
What does it also do to our reputation?
Well, Americans have always wanted to think that they occupy the moral high ground, and I think that the terrible cost of these conflicts really puts that into question. And just to throw out a few figures here, about 67,000 Americans were killed in the three wars that I mentioned, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Iraq. But between 2 and 2.5 million people were killed on the other side in these three conflicts. And you also have to add all the terrible wounds and the terrible grieving and the terrible suffering that resulted from these unnecessary conflicts. Our national security was not really in question in any of these wars. So yes, we paid a high price in suffering, paid a high price in reputation, and really undermined our own views of ourselves, it seems to me. If we want to be exceptional, then we shouldn't behave like other great powers in the past. We should rise above that. We would want to rise above that.
We are looking at these now and deeming them as needless wars.
Yes.
Do we know that enough now going into it as opposed to looking in the past and deeming them as unnecessary?
Well, I hope so. And after the Vietnam War, many citizens, many people in government, many people in academia said we would never make that kind of mistake again. We would never do something like that again. And then with Iraq, we did a very similar kind of thing. I'm hoping now, though, that we can draw some lessons from these unnecessary wars when it comes to again, the crises in the Middle East and the crisis over North Korea.
What in your mind makes war necessary?
If there's an existential threat to the nation, if it's a last resort, if the national security of the country is under attack or is at great risk, and that was not the case in these three conflicts.
And it seems now that we are in perpetual war.
I know. It seems that we are in perpetual war, and we have been really since 2002, 2003, in the aftermath of 9/11, and as a result of going into Iraq, which created tremendous chaos. ISIS did not exist before we went into Iraq. Al-Qaeda in Iraq became ISIS, and it's moved into Syria, as we know. And there's just this ongoing crisis, yes, an ongoing undeclared war, I might add.
So ultimately, what do you hope we learn from the book?
I hope that we learn to be very careful, not to be arrogant, not to be ignorant, not to give in to irrational fear, not allow partisan politics to call the shots as to what we do. And I hope that our media continues to do a good job in informing the American people and their leaders about what is occurring and what would be the proper steps for us to take.
The name of the book is America's Needless Wars: Cautionary Tales of U.S. Involvement in the Philippines, Vietnam, and Iraq. It is published by Prometheus Books. David Contasta, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is America's Needless Wars. It is published by Prometheus. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.